From the Torah, it's prohibited to call your parents in their first name. In the secular world, a lot of times you call your parents in their first name. Right? But,
no.
Yeah. In the secular world, you do.
We didn't.
You didn't, but there are people who do. It's not the weirdest thing. Some people do.
I mean, current generation is so...
But according to the Jewish law, according to the Torah, the Oraita, it's asur to call your parents in their first name.
And if you're introducing them to people then, and you say, this is my father, do you say his first name then? Or do you say...
Harab, or if it's not Harab, it's Mr.
Would you say, this is my father, Mr. You don't say his first name.
Yeah, and if you have to, we'll see in a second what happens if you have to say his name. And even if the parents let you call him for the first name, that's the thing. I still have to call him the first name.
Tati, Ima,
yeah,
Mama.
That's what you call him. If you do have to mention their name, like, so they're writing down now your details. What's your father's name? You have to say, Avi Mori, so and so. My father, my teacher, and his name. You can't just say his name like that. So if you have to say his name for a reason, Avi Mori. Yeah? Now, if the parents have an ordinary name, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, whatever, yeah? And there's other people who have that name and they're there with the parents, you're allowed to call the other people their name. So they have an interesting name, name which is not common, and there's another person there who has that same name, you shouldn't call that person in that name. Call him his last name or something. So he says it. But you let us say, let's say you want to tell your children we're going to visit the grandparents, you want to say his name for a certain grandparent, right?
Yeah.
So you let us say, like you say, we're going to visit grandpa, whatever, Aaron, Avram, so we know what we're talking about. It's not considered disrespect because you're saying Saba before. I saw this already. Salah somewhere. Yeah, I saw this. If your father's name is Abba, there's a name like that. I have friends like that. So what? The kid can call him Abba? Yeah, he can call him Abba. When he gets older, if he wants to say Avi, my father, like, so fine. So they don't have to, or if the mother's name is in the Sephardi world, Mazal Tov, there's a name like that, Mazal Tov. Yeah, so the kids wanted to wish her Mazal Tov, she had a baby, Mazal Tov, Mazal Tov. Right? Let her do that, even though it's her name. Mordechai Eliyahu's mother's name was Mazal Tov. Mordechai Tzidov, Mazal Tov, yeah.
It's quite common.
It's pretty common, yeah. But it's Friday world, yeah. Mazal in many places, but Mazal Tov, also, not very, very, but, yeah. Interesting, huh? If your father is also your Rav, your Rav Muvrak, like I'll say, Rav Arush is children, and you should call him Harav, especially if they're in front of other people. You have to call him Harav. מותר לקרוא מתוך ספר בפני הורים אפילו מספר שם שבוע, אפילו שם פעילי, אבל אני קורא כתב שאתם עדיין וחברים וחברים, תסכים לפני לתאם, ולא ספר את זה. You let her read a book in front of the parents, you're reading a story or whatever, and it has one of the names of the parents, fine, you let her read it, you're reading a story, it's not. Okay. Yeah. If the parents are sick and you're davening for them, of course you can mention their name without mentioning, saying, Avi, before Imi Morati. You can just mention their name, because you're davening for them. Okay. Yeah. When they ask you in the Sefer Torah, what's your name? So you say, let's say you ask me my name, I say Yishai ben Reb. You add the Reb or Avi. Yeah? Usually they say Reb. Yishai ben Reb. Use the Reb for the father. Use something, even if he's not a Reb. Says respect.
We should say that?
Yeah, if you're asking your name, for example, you say Ezra, Elimelech, Ezra, whatever you decided. Ben Reb. Even though your father wasn't a Reb, you call him a Reb because of respect to your father.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Now, if you're the Gabbai and you're calling up your father to get Aliyah, so you just say Yamod Avimori. You don't say his name Bechal. Yamod Avimori. My father will stand for the Sefer Torah without mentioning his name. In certain communities, you call the child in the name of the father when he's still alive. Right? In many places, she has a few grandchildren which are called Shalom. Even though his name is Shalom also, Achav Shalom, right? So, you say in front of the father, they should call him with a. He said, add something to the kid, Shalom Ke. Add something else, and he's in front of the father. My son has the same name as my father, also. One of the names. I asked him all the Chayliyahu, I told him I'm Guir Ashkenazi, but I want to call him this name. So he said, it's just a minug, ask permission from your father. And if he lets you, so you could. If he doesn't let you, you can't. So I asked my father, he said, it's a kavod for me. If you call your son by my name, it's a big kavod for me. So good. Because the reason why people don't do it, because they're like, oh, what, you think I'm dead? That's what you want me to die? That's what you're calling me? But in the Sephardi place, what they do is like, it's respect. You see, he's calling by the name. He respects the father. He calls him by the name. He likes the father. So you can look at it both ways.
Well, this one guy in America had five sons. He named them all after him.
All after himself?
All after him, right. The Americans still will know who I'm talking about.
Is he Jewish?
No. It was funny. His name is George Foreman. Used to be a professional boxer.
And they named all the kids George Foreman?
All the kids were named George Foreman.
George Foreman A, George Foreman B.
Not the first, second, third, and fourth, and fifth. Just George Foreman.
So how did they know at home? Like, who's who? I'm sure at home they had those different names. My daughter has in class two cousins, which they all have. They both have the same first name and the same last name. So they call them whatever Aleph, and the other one Bet. Yeah. If you're doing a mishabel for your father and he's there in the room, in the shul, so you say mishabel, uivarech et moravi. So, my father, my teacher. Not mentioning his name. Or marasimi, right? But if they're not around, so then you could say their name, their full name.
What about for a wife?
Hmm?
If you're doing a shvek for a wife.
What's the problem mentioning the wife's name? Is there disrespect to mention her name?
No.
So why would you ask?
I don't know.
I'm asking you, why would you ask? We're talking about respect.
Right.
You don't call names out of respect. So your wife, is disrespect to call her name?
No.
No. So could you call her name? You tell me. Could you call her name?
Yes.
Say that. You're writing a check for your parents' name, he says here. A when you're writing him a letter, even a check, you write Abi Mori and his name. I just sent a fax to the bank to transfer money to my father. He lent me some money. I gave him back. So I should have written the Abi Mori. Very interesting. So I love to hear. Where did you bring this from? According to Sephardi, you don't ask to. Ashkenazi, yeah.
I'm just wondering whether the bank was rejected.
Why were they rejected? This is my father, so and so. Ah, maybe it's like it's a part of the name?
Yeah.
Could be a problem also.
So all of these apply to father-in-law too, right?
So to what?
Father-in-law. Too, right? Like if you're in shul also, like in...
No, it's not your father. No.
I wouldn't say that.
You could say his name.
Could you call your father by his name?
Your father-in-law? Yeah, you're not supposed to. No. You're not supposed to? Do I keep that? I won't say that. Sometimes it's difficult. I grew up with my in-laws. As kids.
Right.
So I used to call them the first name. It's weird that they changed it. They're my neighbors.
My son calls his mother-in-law Mama.
Yeah, my wife calls my parents Abba and Ima also. You're supposed to. You call also Ima, no Ima,
yeah.
Right? I used to call her father Abba, right? I remember many years ago.
Because she's from France and Morocco. Yeah, and so they do the French.
Whoa! Where did that come from?
Pouring,
huh?
What happened?
It's pouring outside.
Yeah, here.
You're inside. You're safe.
We need the rain.
Awesome. Yesterday, the amount of rain that poured in 3 hours was like the amount of a few days. All over the country, it flooded many, many places. Mm-hmm. also, Yerushalayim was a lot for Yerushalayim, but in Ramat Gan, crazy, 70 millimeters in 3 hours, and it was crazy amount.
That's incredible. I mean, that's either Raqqa or Kala, depending on the situation.
How many millimeters?
This is 180 millimeters. This is 180 millimeters.
180.
70 is like this. It's considered a lot when it pours in one.
It means
that the whole place and it filled up. It's a lot.
That's a flood situation.
Yeah, usually but it was short, so it ended up pretty fast. Afterwards, everyone saw it cleared up till the night.
But we really need a long, steady rain for the aquifers and the groundwater.
Not Hashem. Hashem will give us Shefet, Shemitah.
And hopefully we can flood Gaza.
Yeah. You're allowed to wear your parents' clothing, whether they're alive or not alive anymore, but shoes, the minhag is not to wear someone who died, to wear his shoes. The children don't wear the shoes. You can put them, give them to Gemah, someone else will wear them. For example, I'm wearing my father's shoes right now.
You gave them your father's shoes?
Do I what? Eventually, over the years.
Fill out. It's an expression. Like fill out.
Over the years. I'll grow.
If your parents are still alive, can you wear their shoes?
Of course. If they let you. After the niftar, son. But any other clothing of theirs, you could.
What's the difference, alive or dead? I don't understand.
Something with shoes. Something has to do with shoes.
It's Kabbalah.
It's a mystical thing.
But do you remember your kid?
You learned about this when you were...
The more, like, if you're going to take a nap, you should take your shoes off.
Right, it has something with death.
If you die with your shoes on, it's an unplanned, unnatural death. So that's why I think all the cowboys in the Westerns wore their boots taken off before they died. They read that Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, I know, something like that.
Actually, there were a lot of Jewish cowboys.
Abba Kabba.
No, but I remember my kids wearing my shoes when they were kids. I mean, kids.
You can fall if they wear your shoes and they're kids. So, Abba Kabba. So, if the son and daughter are sitting now, the son is sitting now giving a shir, and there's 100 people listening to him, and he's wearing nice garments, he's like a rav, he's a chashav rav, and the parents, the mother comes over and slaps him in front of everyone, tears his clothing, and spits in front of him. He has to be quiet. That's what Hashem said to do. Now, if they know, you know that your parents are planning on doing that, the latter order other people to make sure they don't get in. But if you don't know and they came and did it, where do we learn that from? Dama ben Atina. It was a goy, the truth is. But that he was sitting in front with his friends and everything, and his mother came over, and she slapped him, and she tore his clothing and stood in front of him. And he was silent. The Gemara says, if you learn from here, kibud olim, and that's how you're supposed to act.
Was it going?
He's the one also who, he had the stones for the choshen, for the tablet it's called.
Uh-huh.
He had
breastplate,
right? Choshen, and he was missing a stone, and he had the stone, and the Chachmei Yisrael went to buy the stone from him, and he said, "I'm sorry, I can't." They told him a certain price. If you want to buy it, we'll pay you so and so, such an amount. And he said, "I can't. My father's sleeping, and he's sleeping under the. He's under him is the chest with the box with the diamonds. I can't open it now." So they thought he's playing games. So they raised the price. They raised the price higher, very high, thousands of uvim or whatever, very expensive. And then he said, "No, I can't, I'm sorry." So they walked away. Afterwards, his father woke up, or the keys were under his pillow, whatever. Father woke up, he ran to them, "Here, take." So they wanted to pay him the full amount that they said at the end. He said, no, just the first amount that I said. So they blessed him, they'll have a red calf. And he had a red calf, which was worth a lot of money, because they needed the Beis HaMikdash. Kids, so we had a lot of bracha. We learned kibud olim from this. He realized we learned kibud olim from goyim. Also, this parsha by Esav. Esav used to respect his parents very much. We know by Rabbi Tarchon, he was sick or something, and his mother asked the Talmidim daven for him. He does kibud olim. She said, "No." So they asked him, "What does he do?" He told him all kinds of. She said all kinds of stories. "But I have to get off of bed. He goes on his knees and he lets me be. He's my step. I can get off. And once we walked in the street." And my thing tore, my sandal, and he put his hands under me, and I walked on his hand until the bed. So they told him, that's respect. He didn't even get to half the how Esav respected his parents. It's interesting, we learned the kibud olim from goyim here, but that's how it is. Yeah.
It's not reacting. It's not reacting.
No, it's interesting, I say.
You want to call Esav goyim?
Esav?
His father was
Yaakov,
and his mother
was Yaakov. He's not Jewish. He's not only from Yaakov. What?
Is Rivka Jewish?
No, there was no Jews then. There were Hebrews.
There was no Jews, and there was no Goyim either then.
They were Hebrews.
So also, then Esav was a Hebrew.
What?
Esav was Hebrew.
And then he decided not to be Hebrew. Didn't go by Jewish law then. Think about the Torah law. If you're right. If your mother's Jewish, so you're Jewish. It was about who you were.
Nothing thing is Jewish. Then.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. He's like he was a
fry. There was nothing thing as goy either.
Yeah, but he was fry. He was off. He was out. Still learn from him. Tov, you're right. Yeah, it's okay. He said that. He was already shenah shon izot. Oh, okay. Horim sheiziku lichlechu b'gdei yadayim or yibdu or vitulu lechatzam. I'll still debate k'gdai. We're going to debate what an ezik is about our parents. Had destroyed their children's stuff for whatever reason. They tore their clothing. They broke their car. Now they talk against them. But you're allowed to go and sue them. Let us sue your parents. If you want to. If you have such shalom bais with your parents, you go and sue them. So, now this is something very practical. Kibud orim she'enam shomrim mitzvot. How do you respect your parents which they don't keep Torah mitzvot? Parents which don't yet keep Torah mitzvot, even if they're considered rishayim and the big avelas and everything, you can't curse them, of course. You can't hit them, chas v'shalom. can't disgrace them, can't anything, can't speak Lashon Hara about them. Has to respect them also, the same thing.
The key question is eating.
Okay. There's only one place where you're allowed to not respect your parents. It's called Mumar Lehachis. Mumar Lehachis is someone, he knows the Torah, he knows the mitzvahs, he dafka does against. He dafka goes in order to upset everyone. He lives in a Jew, in a religious neighborhood, he'll put the music out loud on Shabbos, dafka, to make everyone angry, make everyone upset. Then you don't have to respect. Salam. And if there's even if there's a rub coming around, they'll smoke a cigarette in front of them on Shabbos, they don't care for anyone, anything. Most people, if a rub won't tell you, a lot of times they'll be a little bit, that means they're still there.
There's a story about Rav,
Rav Religion.
We saw somebody smoking at Shabbat.
Oh, you probably don't know
Shabbat.
Yeah,
I know Shabbat. Oh, well, you probably don't know that it's forbidden to smoke. Yeah, I know you're not supposed to smoke. Oh, Hashem, look how you're Jews. They're so truthful. They speak the truth all the time.
You always found a good point in everyone. Understood. So Rabbeinu said, always look at the good points. Okay. So what did you ask about? Eating in their house?
Eating in their house.
Is that halacha? Is he allowed to eat not kosher?
No, you're not eating.
Good, so you can't eat in their house. What's that? They ask you to eat, you say, I'm sorry. We learned that already. If they ask you over any halacha, you can't. You don't have to listen to them. With all the respect. So. Now, this is halachas now which are relevant for most people in this room. Respecting your parents after they're gone. It's a mitzvah aseh from the Torah to respect your parents after they're nifter. Ketzad, right?
What if they want to be cremated?
Asur to cremate them.
I know.
Asur, you don't have to listen to what they ask. Okay. We say, you're supposed to say Zichrono Livracha on your parents, yeah? Zichrono Livracha. Right? Also, after the Nifta, you can't mention their first name. You have to say Avi Mori first. Yeah. And if someone has the minute to name his child after his parents, Minag Ashkenazi, so then of course you're allowed to call the kid in his name, yeah?
Do cremations in Israel?
No.
So this is
an
outside of Israel phenomenon.
Yeah. Here they bury. Everyone buries. Goyim, Yidden, that's not gonna. They bury. Saying Kaddish, learning Mishnayos, giving tzedakah, getting aliyah, maftir, it's all considered respecting your parents. Mentioning Hazkaras Neshama, right? So they say Yizko, going to the kever, fasting on the day of the Yotzai to fast.
My mom's first Yotzai is coming up, so is that a half day fast? Is it a half day fast?
If you could fast, what day? When is it?
It's cook base tennis. It's a Friday. It's
very easy. Fast.
Huh?
Fast.
The whole day.
If you can, yes. It's a short day.
Yeah.
It's just still kiddish.
Like
if you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning,
okay.
But should
I
eat 2 hours before Shkia,
an hour before Shkia?
No, fast.
The whole time until
Shabbos
dinner?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you can.
I see.
You don't have to.
No, okay.
My father fasts for his father's Yotzai every year. Father, every year he fasts. Unless it's Sudas Mitzvah. If you go to Bris on that day, or if you make a Siyum on that day, you're allowed to eat then.
Sure,
the
Siyum would also honor them too.
And the Siyum honors them too. And then you're allowed to eat. Right, that's what you did, Ezra, right? You fasted until the Siyum.
Yes.
And you ate by the Siyum. That's what he did also. So you can also do that. fast until this Kiyum. Because you'll see him in the morning, right in the morning. Then you're not, then it's to this mitzvah, so it's you don't have to fast. You don't need shmas. The main nachas ruach, the main respecting your parents after they die, is the fact that you're a good man, that you keep the Torah and the mitzvahs and you act in nice manners. That's the main kibud olam. Someone said that someone who left the son of the Talmid Chacham, right? He never died. The parent never died, even though he's not in this world anymore. But someone who even had many, many children, and they're all that. So they died. There's no zecher of them in the world. There's no remaining of them in the world. But if you left here children which keep the Torah and mitzvahs and are bringing Hashem's word to the world, so then you left the, you left a remaining of you.
I heard that in Balchum, his parents,
it's
like
immediately Olam Haba. Mamash,
mother. Still snefesh. Even if they didn't do anything, they didn't keep anything, just the fact that they had something.
Yeah, it's a big, big schus.
They have automatic Olam Haba.
Shaveh.
Did anything, Rabbi, about it? Can you keep a camel burning throughout their first year or anything like that? Besides a district camel, or something about?
Just on the Yotzeh. Yeah. Now, I heard a Rav, listen to this, I heard a Rav on the radio. Woodburn. He's a very big rabbi. He's the son-in-law of Al-Vadia. And he said, I'll tell you what he said. He said that it's brought down that you're supposed to light the candles near Nishmas in the shul. That's what it says. To light a candle in the shul. Now, all Ashkenazis, everyone knows that on the outside, you light a candle in the house. Oh, maybe also in the shul, but he says, what's the minhag of the shul? So why in the shul? Because the schus is that there'll be light in the shul and people are able to learn in the shul and daven in the shul. And so he said, but today, this is his chiddush, or maybe Rav Avadia's chiddush, you bring that one. Today that we don't use candle as a light stuff, we use electricity. So the mitzvah leinu nishmas will be to give tzedakah to the shul and they'll be able to pay the electricity. That's what he says.
What about
So that's why I would tell someone, I like that idea that he said, by the way. He said the whole schus is not the candle. What is the candle doing?
Right?
Bright
light.
What?
Bright light.
The main thing is the light that they're able to daven in the shul, to be in the shul. So I would advise everyone, besides the minhag to light the candle, which is a minhag, anyone who has a yotzeit, to give donate money to the shul, that the shul will be able to pay electricity. Give a donation to the yeshiva. You're living in yeshiva. There's light here. You know how much electricity costs in this chutzah chesed? David Moshe once told me. If I tell you the numbers, you might fall off the chair. 130,000 shekels every 2 months.
130,000.
Yeah, it's crazy. When in the summer, when the air conditioner running, crazy. And water, careful. You don't even start to understand the amount of money the yeshiva has to invest. Why do you think they have 20 girls down there calling people all day to bring money in? Someone's benefiting. Who's benefiting? We're benefiting off of it. Besides our paychecks, good luck. We have electricity. We have everything that we need. So it's a schus to give donation like that. Like for you don't have to save electricity. You just take a donation to yeshiva. Yeshiva can use it for whatever they need, or to your shul in the neighborhood if they need whatever it is. But
that's why they're switching to LEDs. It's
much cheaper.
Much, much cheaper.
Much, yeah. 80% cheaper.
It would pay for the price of the LEDs.
Yeah, but the electricity, the lights are not so expensive. More, it's more the other things here. But also lights. So many lights in all the rooms. Yeah. So. Right. So, tomorrow we'll talk about respecting the grandparents.
Well, it still has.